Good evening, everybody. Did you start that? Okay. It's now 6 o'clock, so I will go ahead and call the Monday, April 19th workshop meeting to order. First is discussion of the Old Denton Road construction. The construction RFP for the Old Denton Road water main replacement project was advertised in the Times Record on March 10th. And on the town website and the Facebook page, and on email and marketplace. So, Bob, would you like to go ahead?
Sure, I would. Hey, by the way, your camera's pointing at the ceiling. We can't see your smiling face.
Well, I'm going to turn that camera on. Which camera?
There you are. That's good.
Thanks.
As you stated, we advertised for the Old Denton Road work. This advertisement was reviewed by FDE, and they will confirm whatever selections you choose to make this evening. But to summarize, we got 3 bids, Retallick & Sons, Schumer Incorporated, and ECM Corporation. All 3 are good contractors. ECM has done a little bit of work in town. As you all know, Retallick, he's done quite a bit of work in town. And Schumer is working, we're working with them quite a bit in the St. Michael's area, and they do fine work. So I would say, first off, that all 3 bids were from responsive bidders. They addressed all the line items, and it was a very interesting bid. Two of them, Schumer and ECM, were within a fraction of a percent of each other, but quite a bit higher than the Retallick bid. Retallick's bid was actually within a percentage of the project budget estimate that we prepared based on historical information and other similar work. The major difference had to do with the price per linear foot for the pipe work. We've done these projects before, and those estimates used for Schumer and ECM probably were reflective of being uncomfortable with the unknowns and working within the town's right-of-ways and around other utilities. Retallick has done quite a bit of work in town, was very familiar with the work. If you look through their bids, line items, all the line items vary between one contractor or the other. Each contractor chooses to lump certain prices, you know, in different items. So Retallick's price per linear foot was actually a little lower than we had as a estimated cost, but they also had higher costs for other items that are part and parcel of it. So the net result was a very similar bid. None of the bidders gave every one of the associated attachments or documents that were requested, and that's sort of arguable, too, whether they did or they didn't, but the important thing to know is the town has the authority under the bid documents to accept any bid if it's determined to be in the best interest of the town. My recommendation for the town is to accept the Retallick bid and subject to the receipt of any documents that we think he still needs to provide to comply with the MDE funding requirements. They relate to the term meety-weety documents and verification that they did what they're supposed to do there, as well as some other sign-off sheets that MDE requires, and they would typically would accompany the contract. I've talked to Retallick about them. They don't have any issues with any of those documents or requirements, and felt that they had provided what we needed. So, all in all, I think Retallick gave an excellent bid. If they were substantially lower than the engineer's estimate, or we thought there were things that were out of line, I might not be as confident given the 2 other bids were close. But the major difference was the very high. I mean, we were looking
thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Bob? Okay, so if you guys are comfortable with his recommendation, can I get a motion to award the RFP for construction services for the Old Denton Road project to Retallick, contingent upon MDE's review and approval?
Make a motion we award the contract to on the Old Denton Road project to Retallick.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. The bid will be awarded to Retallick contingent upon MDE's review and approval. Okay, next we have discussion Old Denton Road for construction management and inspection services. The construction management and inspection services for RFP for Old Denton Road water main replacement project was advertised in the Star Democrat on January 27th and February 3rd and on the town's website and Facebook page and eMarket Marketplace. The town received three responses to the RFP. Responses were received from Rowell Incorporated, George Miles and Burr LLC, and Rummel Klepper and Call LP. Bids ranged from $38,660 to $86,458.52. Lindsay?
Yep. So we read these awards, or not awards, the bids that came in back in, gosh, I think your March regular meeting, and at that time decided to hold off awarding construction management inspection because we wanted to ensure that the construction prices came in at what we were bidding or estimating. MDE will only budget is like 13.5% of total construction costs for construction management and inspection, so we didn't want to get in a bind there and award a contract that was larger than that number. Luckily, all but one came in under that budgeted number. All three firms, in reviewing their proposals, are qualified. I think the RK&K bid at $86,458 is a little concerning as far as how high it is, that maybe they lack an understanding of the scope of the project and maybe lack an understanding of MDE funding because of that percentage. So they were rated lowest on the overall lump sum. So that leaves Rao and GFB. And I think the analysis there is that Rao's price, frankly, is lower, so it's better for the town as far as the budget goes. And Rao is intimately familiar with the project, having done the bidding and specs on it, and so whereas another firm would have to become familiar with those documents, because the construction management and inspection firm is responsible for observing the construction and confirming that the project is constructed in accordance with those documents, that you're it's probably in the best interest to go ahead with Rao. I believe that Larry reviewed the bids as well, and I don't know if he wants to give his staff recommendation as far as the bids or has anything to add to what I just quoted. Well,
thank you.
No, I concur.
Okay, well, the price difference between Rao and GMB was $16,640. So that's a pretty good chunk of change that will save the town. I guess part of that is the familiarity with the town and the project already. So does anybody have any questions or any discussion or thoughts on it? All right, so hearing none, if you guys are okay, then we'll go ahead and I will take a motion to award the RFP for construction management and inspection services for the Old Denton Road project to Rao, contingent upon MDE's review and approval.
I'll make a motion that we award the RFP for construction management and inspection for the Old Denton Road project to Rao Engineering, based with MDE's approval on the project.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. The bid is awarded to Rao Engineering, contingent upon MDE's review and approval.
And thank you for your confidence.
We know where to find you. Thank you.
Yes, you do.
Okay, next we have discussion on the FY21 and 2022 proposed operating budget. Larry?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. Since we've got the town engineer, I would request that he have the opportunity to go over the capital project staff report that he provided to give you an update on what we've got pending and what we can expect to see in this fiscal year, because right now we're waiting on three NDP projects that we should be hearing word on in the next month or so. So, Rousey, walk us through some of that would be helpful.
I didn't put it up in front of me. I was just going to be responsive. In general, we had a meeting and we discussed these projects and the anticipation of potential funding coming to the town, where you did receive notification of that. The first priority, as we discussed, was related to, and Larry, I didn't put this up in front of me, so correct me if I get this wrong. First priority was to look at the projects that we've applied for grant funding on, and most of those projects require some sort of town support through loans or other in-kind services. So the first priority would be to direct funding to support those projects. Those include the we're hoping to get funding for water meters and SCADA controls for the water system. We also are looking to get funding to support the upgrade of the one of the municipal pumping stations, or several, but the primary station is on, that one's at the park, I think. And we have some smaller, we've also looked at doing upgrades and improvements to the municipal wastewater treatment plant as well. As we looked at the potential of getting funding, we've got a shot at getting the funding for the water meters and SCADA. I think we've got a good shot at getting funding support for the pumping station project. I'm a little less confident that the treatment plant improvements are going to be ranked that high, because we already have an ENR treatment plant, and we won't be generating any additional MDO-related benefits directly anyway. We know that any spill or problem is a potential problem. But we won't, I guess the timeline is in early May to get some results on where things turn out. The town also has a few small miscellaneous projects that we're working on don't have real significant capital additions to them, including the cabin and the dam project, and some miscellaneous repairs and cleanup around the river. The one project that we've tried to get funding for in the past and have been unsuccessful, but we're going to continue to try, and we've seen some evidence that DNR may have some funding, and we're looking into that. And that's the improvements to the park related to the drainage. We have a fairly significant drainage area that feeds to the park. We have full plans. We're literally shovel ready for that project. And I think it'll have a huge big benefit to the town in many respects. It's certainly going to improve the public amenity. It has strengthened the prioritizing as it relates, not necessarily even loosely, to COVID situations, where the folks downstream side, but also some of the upstream activity or upstream drainage that comes to it. The improvements will result in reductions of sediment loads and flooding in the park, which will have direct benefits all the way around. So it's a very strong project in that regard. And my suggestion in our conversation was that that might sit as a high priority in the event that funds aren't otherwise used. We also have discussed improvements to the public landing and the pier and marina. There's some needed work there that, again, we're going to reach out to DNR for some support there. And working in another community, we're able to get a fairly nice grant for repairs to public piers. So we think that we follow that path, we might be able to get some funding for that. So that's another capital project that I believe the whole community would benefit from. We had undertaken the paving of Main Street several years ago, and some drainage repairs there. The town has other streets that are in need of pavement repairs, and we certainly need to keep them on our capital repairs inventory and start scheduling and planning for a systematic road improvement program. And that would be addressing paving issues as well as related drainage. And we did a fairly detailed inventory of that several years ago, and the town, Barry, has a copy of that. And we should probably look at that and make an update of some current priorities. Did I miss any, Larry?
I think that's well enough for a year.
Thanks, Bob.
No, I think that if the town is successful in getting the funding that seems to be earmarked for the town, you've got some really worthy opportunity or worthy projects that you could justify utilizing this funding.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay.
Larry, do you want to add anything else?
It's in the staff report, and you see it also on the budget sheets. It's what's not there. It's the dog that's not barking right now. This is the capital projects. What we're going to have to, what the town share is going to be after the state funding is taken into consideration, what we can and can't spend on out of the American Rescue Plan Act, and we'll have some guidance on that probably within early May. And then much, who knew a year ago that there was going to be a CARES Act or an American Rescue Plan? As I said, there's nothing to say that between, well, who knows, between July 1st till 2021 and June 30th of 2022 that there also isn't a federal infrastructure bill, which also might wind up sending money back to localities, which may allow the town to do other things that we can't do under the American Rescue Plan. So at this point in the second part of April, for a budget that begins on July 1, suffice to say our capital projects are questionable. Not the need, not the engineering,
funding.
The funding.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly. So, if our engineer wants to add anything to that, but we'll be able to, staff will bring forward to the council, prioritize what we can afford to pay. No, no. It's going to be nice to have cash in the bank to be able to pay some of these things as we go, but at the same time, we're still going to be cash flowing the rest of the operation, waiting for reimbursements. So I'll just put that out there as well.
Bob, you want to add anything else to that?
No, I think that's where we are, and looking forward to seeing if MDE brings us on so that we can take advantage of some of those projects. I will add one thing. Of the projects that we have requested funding for, if we didn't get any of the state funds,
Yeah, I would agree.
That's it.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Hey, Larry, this is Liz. I just sent you that infrastructure list that Bob and I shared with you when you came in, when you all came in the office. So just email that to you if you want to share it with the commissioners.
Sure. Thank you.
I think we better summarize.
Thank you. All right. Chief, would you like to add some stuff for your budget?
I'd like to add a lot of stuff.
Would you like to add discussion
don't
of
ask
what funding you need, not extra money?
A few comments.
Let me rephrase that statement.
Sure, you're giving out money.
Yeah, I'd like to be giving out money.
I don't mind cutting it.
Madam Mayor and members of council, town manager's his focus is always on retention of levels of service that we provide to the citizens, and the budget that I put forward to him and to yourselves maintains that level of service with no change. It enhances certain areas, redistributing some of the money that we have and that we need for different categories that we find over the last three budget cycles that I've been chief. The last two I've had direct impact on. I now will remind the council, because I did find it humorous, and I think it was Councilman Maureen, when I was interviewed for the job 2.5 years ago, and I pointed out that I had saved a town that I had been chief at before significant money over the course of a couple of years. And I felt like, you know, that was possible with budgets. You just never know where money's at. And he didn't hold me to it, but he said, well, good luck with that. And I thought, well, you know, that is a challenge. It always is when you're trying to cut budgets and maintain your spending. But we've done that. And this budget that's in front of you from the police department's perspective, we're still is over 2% less than the original budget that I had when I walked in the door 3 years ago. So it means that probably next year's budget, we will be right at where we were, you know, 3 years after a four-year budget cycle. And that's really quite an accomplishment, I think, for the town to look at how we continue to grow, and we do see some growth. We have continued to maintain and be very frugal about our application. The only category areas that we've expanded are salary relative to the proposal by the city manager to overall salaries. I will point out that that's not in keeping with what we projected and what we were trying to accomplish, which was a step and a cost of living allowance based on that. It's probably about 1% to 1.25% below what we would have hoped for on an even keel year, but it's workable. It's a workable number, and I think with some of the other incentives that employees have received and some of the other work that the council has done by bringing in, making adjustments mid-year, I did suggest in part of the preparation for this is that if we see ways through revenue, if the revenue is enhanced in any way, shape, or form, that we can put into the budget language to do what we did this year, which is look at it in January and see where we're at and see if it's possible to reevaluate those amounts. Employees certainly benefit from that, and then we don't have to absorb an entire step increase in a budget year. We're only absorbing, you know, half in July and basically half in January. And I would ask you to, you know, as the revenues come in and the support documents come in, look at that and consider making that part of your language just as a commitment to what we've tried to do. You have been able to retain staff. That was our job number one. It's what we drilled down on and we focused on that. Your commitment, the previous administration's commitment to that, have remained solid, and I'm proud to say that we've been able to do that. We're still attracting people that are certified police officers. It's a tremendous savings to the town, and it also generates a much more mature police officer that's already capable, proven product out on the street as far as enforcement goes. And those assets are hard to hold on to in these stormy times that we face. I'd say the only areas where you'll really see significant amounts other than salary are the support packages to salary, any of the support language of the money that goes towards that. I've worked to look at those and just project, because the clerk, we don't have solid numbers on those things, like the whether it's the insurance numbers or our other numbers dealing with FICA and things like that. So those are projections, as well as health insurance. The state retirement system is the same thing. It's a projection. It's just based on a known as to what it probably will be next year. There are small increases in equipment and supplies, and fuel sees probably the biggest increase. But I think everybody's budget in this room has seen fuel increase, and we don't know what that looks like. It's difficult to project, so that number is increased for that purpose. We also last year separated fuel from general services of our vehicle maintenance program, and that separation allowed us to get a better idea of where we were at. And of course, by retaining personnel and seeing our personnel, we're looking at an increase in fuel costs, but also not the increase it would have been had we not gone to the fleet program with Enterprise and saved money with the new vehicles that you've put on the road. That should realize quite a bit of fuel savings for us going forward, as well as maintenance savings. You won't see changes in that category because we're projecting that we can accommodate the vehicles that we purchased through that. And depending, there are some funding areas available, perhaps through the American Rescue Plan. We've had discussions with the city manager in that regard as to how that could impact on our budget. In fact, the next, say, five fiscal years. And if that's so, then we're just even that better off. So we're hopeful that that's the case, but that's an unknown. You'll see a reduction, of course, in USDA money allotments because we don't have to cover that this year. We have done a good job. You know, our overall, the budget itself, 77% of our budget deals with salary package or related items that are ancillary to salary. 18% deals with that we consume through operational money that we need to operate the department. And then only about 5% is really debt-related for the agency, which really is very good. We were not in that posture a couple of years ago. We worked to pay off some of the debts that we had through other vehicles and things like that. We have been able to get vehicles without incurring large debt, and that's been a big help to the overall budget. So with that being said, and you have it, you know, the package that you have with you, if you have any questions over the course of the next week or two that come to mind, please feel free to let me know. But, you know, you look at it later on and you think, oh, I have a question about that. I'm happy to try and respond to that and give you, you know, deeper details other than maybe what you've got or what's in front of you. We have talked, and I have mentioned to Mayor and Council about the need for further discussion about the impact of the new laws on the police department. And some of that's probably going to have an impact on us fiscally. It's questionable what the impact will be, to be honest. I can project some things. I can see more money spent on training. I can see more money spent for mental health issues, things that we have to do. Potential money that might be needed for boards and review boards and these types of things that we were not encumbered with before. But a lot of that remains unknown. There are some things that will take effect July 1, other things that you have been way ahead of the curve on. You have been ahead of the curve on police body cameras. And I believe that that has saved the town a lot of aggravation, because you are the model for where everyone in this county ought to be when it comes to monitoring our activities and what we do and holding ourselves accountable. The budget calls for increasing the enhancement of our surveillance system in town. I'll give you another example of that. This weekend, we had an assault that happened right on Central Avenue. Guy got hit in the head with a bottle, and that happened like 11 o'clock at night, all captured on our camera. Okay? These are the sorts of things that they make problems go away a lot more so than there wasn't a police officer there, but there was. The police officer just happened to be a camera that you have funded and we have strived to protect our people with. We put them in the areas where they belong. This is what you get. We were able to assist the Maryland State Police in the last 2 weeks with the homicide that they had in Cambridge, with some of the traffic that moved through town at various camera points that we provided, that was there. It enhanced their case. It made their timeline work. This is modern law enforcement without us adding personnel. I've talked to the town manager. We both are firmly agree that as we move forward and as the budget perhaps expands, revenue enhancement occurs to this town, we don't see the need for us to expand the law enforcement presence other than these types of areas where we can enhance our surveillance and we can do more digitally to help us. That's where we will look to do this. And that, you know, the cameras don't eat, and they don't, you know, they don't drink, and they don't cost us any benefit package. So they're a big deal. And the staff that you have, so long as we're able to hold on to people, and every law enforcement agency in Maryland is going to be tasked with deciding what that looks like. How do we keep our guys? How do I keep somebody from saying, forget Maryland, I'm going to Seaford, you know? Seaford's got openings. They've got openings in Delaware. We have to protect what's ours as best we can. And the General Assembly has made that just that much harder for us. So we'll talk about that in the future and maybe things that we can at least expect or plan, try and plan for. You're doing what I asked you to do 3 years ago. You're doing it. And because you're doing it, we're being successful. So my commitment to you is give you budgets that are understandable, reasonable based on our revenue and our expectations, not to break the bank, steady as she goes, and try and enhance things that we can. And I don't think that we will be beyond where we were when you sat down in 2018 and cut a budget. We're still under where you were in 2018. So when you were looking at numbers at the end of 2017 fiscal, we're under where you were. And we probably will be right at it next year. So we will have gone 4 years without really the mayor and council having to add any money to what they projected back then. That's a significant accomplishment for the mayor and council, for the city manager's office, and for the police department. And I appreciate it. We appreciate the support that we get from this mayor and council. I can't tell you how important that is right now, but you've always been there for us, and I believe that the agency itself gives you every reason to have confidence going forward that we will continue to be the professional agency that you need us to be in this town. Thank you for that.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank Please. You. First off, thank you for fixing the problem next door to me. I truly appreciate that.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Sorry I missed the party.
Sorry it's next door to you.
Had to go to Annapolis. Well, me too. But thank you for correcting that problem. So is there a plan for where we could use additional cameras?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We're actually looking at some different vendors who offer, there's so much now available surveillance-wise that are remote. We need some remote eyes up on the north end. So the Food Lion, the Royal Farms, you know, that area which we seem to be robust in our growth, we need to have eyes up there which we do not have. We're enhancing the ones as we go out towards the east side of town because that's where we have them at intersections, but they're line of sight, and we often are fatigued with that in our system, and we lose them. So we'll lose them for an hour or two at a time. We're trying to get away from line of sight and go with the more digital cameras that are just directing in. We are also we're expanding with the help of other entities that exist already. For instance, there's a camera out for us near the Veterans Memorial area, okay, which we have access to. The VFW, the Royal Farms has an enhanced system. We can't just remote into that, but they're very good at working with us on what we need. We've solved crimes with their surveillance system. So we've been able to try and isolate where we have Ring cameras in town, where we have, you know, permanent surveillance available to us in town,
Lywood Electric has been a tremendous help with us in that regard, as well as Mr. B and his facilities downtown. Everybody's getting on the bandwagon with this, so what we're trying to do is instead of just having to go create our own, everybody wants to work with us on this network that we have, and it's been very, very helpful. And I think for us, as a way of trying to, you know, keep our costs down as far as what we're doing, knowing where those cameras are so my detective can go immediately and look and see if it helps has been a big help. And it's cost us nothing except the time to go track them down and find out where they are. There is a system that's available now where these companies can allow you to have access to somebody else's system if the owner gives you that propriety and says, yeah, you can come in. And we can remote in anytime that we want. And that's what we're trying to do. Just trying to partner with people like that who have the same interest, security. How do we keep ourselves safe? And that's a big help. But we are trying to get our own eyes up north.
Okay.
And with the idea that as you expand, and the same thing is true. I think where we lack the most for us, the industrial components that are there all have their own systems. But our ability to help them by monitoring those entrances, all the egress points in the park, I'd like to see us do more there. But that's not line of sight for us to the tower a lot of times, and that's a problem. So we have to do something different. I wouldn't be surprised to see that part of the budget become a little bit more robust over the next 5 years to where we commit to it, just like you have with tasers, the technology. You've committed to enhancing that and the capturing of the going with our body cameras with Axon and having them do our cloud retention of our digital files. That's a huge savings for us on a monthly basis. So we pay for a service, but we're not paying BDK to store files and that monthly access fee. So we've been able to do a lot of that, and I think that's probably where we're going to see growth in this budget going forward, is you're going to see it in that digital area for us. So not on toys, but on the enhancement, on the ability to actually save the recordings and tie things together. So I think that's to me probably the next vision for us, is to not only tie them together, but see where you guys want to see things like we do. And you know what that looks like. And I'll tell you, when you start pegging it, we can put a license plate reader, for instance, at the bridge, and all it does is read plates. Well, that doesn't mean much, except when you have an investigation and you want to know whether a vehicle was somewhere and you've got an LPR picking it up every time, 24/7, we got it. That's what we're talking about. And the cost for that, it's not that much money. It's just a matter of saying, okay, yeah, it's another $3,000 camera, but we don't have to pay for it every month like that. So the camera does what we need. And we loop it, keep the information 30 days, move on to the next one. We're not keeping it forever. So I think that for us as a town, you're thinking way beyond where a lot of localities are. And I think it's to your credit. I think it's why crime has lowered in this community. Not only have people bought into it and people are watching, but we have done what we need to do to make sure that it's a safer community to live in, and that's going to pay big dividends.
Well, as we start expanding, you know, just what we're doing at all the parks and, like, the marinas,
yes,
and stuff like that, it's nice to have that if somebody's doing something,
hey,
you know, that
yeah,
you can go after them.
We're
investing money in all
marina,
these parks and
yeah,
all this area because
yeah,
we want people to enjoy it, but we also want to
catch the bad
actors that are, you know.
People expect a lot of these things now when they are there. You know, it'd be nice to have a camera at the marina when
mm-hmm,
people are parking boats there or whatever. And, you know, we get ancillary shots of people doing things. It'd be nicer to be able to property protect and people protect in areas where you know we have higher traffic. So that's the sort of thing that I'm talking about. And it's just a matter of time, you know, for us to enhance this and keep doing this and without adding people. It's not about adding cops till you get a lot more population. It's not that. It's adding technology.
Mm-hmm. So, and for the state of Maryland bill, did that also cover funding to help with training? Are they planning on giving grants to? You know, I knew that it kind of was like a rhetorical statement,
yeah,
but you know, tongue in cheek, you know, they're expecting municipalities to do all
yeah,
this, and yet, you know, they want us to fund their retraining people or
yeah,
funding
sure,
whatever.
one of the things that they did, they've mandated body cameras for police departments. Now, a lot of agencies are going to be looking at it in their budgets and having to make that happen. The sheriff's office, the Maryland State Police, these are agencies that do not have body cameras that you've had for a decade, okay? They're going to have to absorb that cost. Now, is the state of Maryland going to appropriate funding, you know, for initial startups and all? Yeah, and you know who you're going to feel like? You're going to feel like the parent that paid for their kid to go to college, and now the government says we're going to forgive the debt, okay, when you've already paid it off. But there may be other enhancements that we can ride into, okay? And the thing that we may have saved ourselves, the aggravation that we save ourselves and being out in front is certainly better than being ordered to do something, you know? Most of the mandates that I saw and have read in the different, there was four different bills that addressed this. For the most part, they're all unfunded mandates. They make demands on you as a mayor and council that they offer you nothing for that, okay? There will be some training that's available through the Maryland Police Training Commission. And all those, which we pay for as well. I mean, none of that's free, but it's something that they will be requiring us to do moving forward. There'll be recommendations. There are new oaths of office that have to be taken, which are really, I mean, well, that's a discussion for another time, but it's going to be something for us, physicals and mental health evaluations every year. I can tell you right now that's going to add about $500 per individual that we have to the budget, okay? Just based on what I know what we do for new hires, right? You get a psych review, that's anywhere between $300 and $500. And we have to have one annually now. Plus, after any event, you have to have the same thing. We're going to have a physical ability standard that they test our staff on for that every year to make sure that they're physically able to do the job. Well, you know, that to me is just a fitness for duty thing. Not a lot, but hey, that's another probably $120 or $150 we've got to shell out for that. So those changes, yeah, you know, it's going to be, you know, a lot to us, you know, to absorb that money that we would have used, say, for uniforms or something else that we now have to come up with. And obviously, you know, no one likes to raise taxes, but, you know, this is the General Assembly. They're not going to give us the money for these things.
No.
Okay? They're going to expect us to come up with it.
Yes, they are.
I'll try and have a more thorough, complete list for you on projected ideas of what it might cost us going down the road.
Okay. Thank you. Do you guys have any other questions?
No.
Terrific.
Thank you.
You up to do the work?
Thanks. We will try and do that.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Larry, do you have anything else you want to add for the budget stuff? Or?
I know we've got at least Steve online. So if he wants to speak to anything on the public works, public utility side. But otherwise, big picture, the operational budget we've got in front of you is in line with the fiscal year. As the chief said, it's become a priority not to grow the size of government and cost of government. So we've tried to limit that. What you've seen from my staff report are two issues that I'm sure we'll get to with Steve Diet, trash truck and backhoe. And those two pieces of capital equipment and the processing involved with financing those two pieces of capital equipment. Otherwise, there are still things that are potential revenues that we don't know of, not just the federal legislation that's pending and how to do it, not just potential federal legislation that we may see in the fiscal year, but if some of the development that's been talked about in town actually happens in this fiscal year, we'll see some more on the revenue side that at this point can't project. It happened this year, might happen next fiscal year, might happen at some point in the future, might never happen. But those are things that we actually right now just can't project.
Right.
And I can't tell anyone how many square feet of industrial space is going to be in the tax roll. So it might happen this fiscal year or fiscal year 21-22. So if there were just some things out there on the revenue side that still a little uncertain of. Those have to, I'm going to have to come back. Really, the purpose of tonight was to get the departments on record as far as what their operational costs are going to be. But again, some of the revenue lines, especially big ticket items, and capital projects and capital equipment will be brought back in May at some point. What I don't want to do is I don't want to push this any further to the point where we're not able to, you know, what's left in public hearing to adopt the budget before June 30th. And my goal is to not have us here on June 29th to adopt the budget.
Ours too.
Yeah, right.
So as soon as we know, we'll know. Obviously, because of the American Rescue Plan and the expenditures that are going to be required this in the fiscal year 21-22, this budget, like the current budget, is going to need amendments. So I'll just say that up straight now. We're going to have to develop more chart of account lines. Trevor and I have already talked about that. It may mean its own sort of unfunded mandate based on what kind of accounting and auditing we have to do, because we don't know that yet. So give with one hand, take with another. I just can't tell you what those are going to be right now. I just expect that those would be the cases. But otherwise, big picture is two pieces of capital equipment, a way to fund them, and frankly, the ability to bring some one-time revenue in the house through our wonderful building across the street, and also the cell tower lease. And again, looking at the cell tower lease and our $15,000 worth of revenue, when one-time sale of that would bring in about 10 times that much. Obviously, I recommend bringing in one-time cash to put in the bank. And that's another thing that's sort of a frame of mind on the budget that Stan's presenting, is just because we bring in the revenue, we don't have to go out and spend it. We really do need to build up reserves. And that's been pointed out by our auditor several times. And it needs to be a priority so that Treasurer doesn't constantly sweat cash flow and reimbursements from grant projects, because as successful as I'm sure Bob Rail's team is going to have us be successful with the upcoming water and sewer projects, they're still going to be, for the most part, in a cash flow situation again, as is closing out the solar panel project. So if we can add a little cushion in the bank, that would be helpful in a wise decision, is my recommendation. But that's all I've got as far as the big picture. I'm happy to have that discussion. I know we've got the department.
Steve, do you want to add anything now, or do you want to come in person next month?
I can do whatever. One of my main concerns, and which will affect the budget one way or the other, is the garbage issue. Are we going to go with a contractor, or are we going to go with, because what's in there? There's neither one in there right now, because we don't know what we're going to do. So we kind of need to make that, you know, commit one way or the other, or I would like you to commit one way or the other, so we can put that budget and
Thank you. So I guess we can dig it back down. I know we had a couple questions when we discussed the trash, the RFP that went out and came back in. I mean, we can, I guess, dust that back off and see where we ended up with our final after our questions and see which way we're going to end up going. For trash, which is the bane of our existence. Thank you, Steve. Do you guys have any questions for Steve?
No.
All right. Next, we have Mayor and Council action items. Councilman Windsor.
Why a week? Only two complaints. And they both were on West Sunrise Avenue. And one
was
of them I rode up and down the street four times, and I cannot find what they're talking about. They were complaining about grass being 2 to 3 feet high, which should be able to see it. Well, if it's there, I cannot find it. And the second one is 301 West Sunrise Avenue. The gentleman in the side yard and the backyard has about 20, I think they're like 275 gallon totes. And the guy didn't complain about the totes. What he complained about is what chemical was in the totes that the guy's flushing out in the yard and down the street. So I said, well, I can get maybe John to check it out. What do you find out?
Okay, thank you. Councilman Sewell?
I had one complaint also on West Central. There's a gentleman, and I don't know the address, he's across the street from me, but who seems to have a makeshift sump pump going on. He's got a hose buried in his yard, and in the evenings, it's spewing water out into the gutter. I can get the address for you. Well, it's the old Spicer house is the house that was brought up to me. So I don't know the second one.
So is it pumping out of his basement or something?
I believe so. It's a garden hose and it's buried. The end of it's like at the end of his yard and the rest of it's buried somewhere and you don't see where it's coming from. And I think that is a wet basement. I've been in that house. That was the concern, that he was pumping
something
into the street every night.
So is the concern that he's...
Well, they don't know what he's pumping. And
that's the concern.
Yes.
They don't know what he's pumping.
Right.
They don't have a problem with him because you wouldn't want to pump it back out in your yard. It's going to end up right back in your basement. But if it's plain water...
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah.
Okay. So do we need to have something where John checks to see what substance...
I can give you the address. I just have to look it up.
According to code, you sort of pump it right into your...
I mean, we have a sump pump, and it goes in right into this whatever system it is. You know, I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's not that big a deal this time of year, but there's sometimes I've seen in wintertime people are doing it, and you end up with
the
ice. Ice, yeah.
A patch of ice.
I used to have that problem.
I have two just little announcements for the Lions Club. We have our first sandwich sale on Friday up at the fire hall, and then on Saturday from 8 to 12 we're doing a cleanup at the park. You all are invited to come out if you'd like to give us a hand. So.
We did not advertise that. It's just we're mowing the grass, picking up sticks.
Steve an email.
Okay. Steve, did you see? Well, I know you were off. Were you off today, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Yes,
I
went in and did payroll stuff this morning, but I was off, yes.
Okay. Did you see Debbie's email?
I'll get your email, Deb, and we'll take care of that.
Okay. Just let us know how you want to handle it.
I thought the trailer might just be the easiest if that worked for y'all.
The what?
The trailer. If you just parked that big trailer up there, we could put bags of, leaves. We're going to try to mulch up the leaves with mowers, but there's a lot of sticks up there. But if you want to park that big trailer up there, we can just load the sticks on there if that's easier for y'all.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we can do that. There's no problem at all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Anything else?
No.
Nope, that was it for me.
Councilman Phillips?
No.
Councilman Marine? No? I can give you some of mine because I got a bunch.
Oh, Lord.
So, this is for John. Is there anything we can do about the car on East Central that has the two flat tires? The tags do not expire until May 2021 because I looked when I walked the dogs the other morning.
On East Central?
But there is an East Caribbean. Oh, sorry. Well, yes, right across the bridge. It sits right next to Cafe Paradiso on that flat.
Yep. The old firehouse.
Yep. Yes, sir. There's a van.
Yes, and it's been there at least a week because I've been walking the dogs and nobody has moved it because of the flat tires, and there's two flat. I didn't check the other two, but there's definitely two flat ones. Yeah. Well, that's owned.
Is it?
Cafe, it's private property. Yeah. Cafe Paradiso, I think they own that, right? Don't they own all the way to the water there?
No.
Yeah. But, I mean, even they just get it around the back of the building, so it's just not sitting there with two flat tires looking like...
Yeah,
behind the public. Oh, well, okay, so if they move it there, then we can really tag them for dumping a car. It's an eyesore. I really don't want sitting there and, come into town.
If it's an operable on town property, we'll tow it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so right now, the wall at the railroad bridge is still pristine. I know it's been a while. I'm very impressed. Federalsburg Activity Center got a $100,000 grant. In case you all had not heard, I sent you all the email. I did email Sue Simmons about where the $1 million was going that was going to Caroline County, because I want some of that. I'd like to know what they have plans to do with $1 million, because I got some ways they can spend it here for its local parks and playgrounds. So, Preston Automotive Group, they had a basketball tournament, a fundraiser. Yesterday, they had a beautiful day for it. Thanks to everybody who pitched in to get the courts and everything squared away. They were appreciative of letting us use it, so they have asked if they could donate something. I suggested they donate bleachers for down there. I know the kids that use the basketball courts would like to have some bleachers. So I'm going to bleacher shop for them to see what they could donate. Or even if it's just some benches, it doesn't have to be full bleachers, but something that they can sit on when they're down there, or at least put their bags off the ground and stuff off the court. You guys all have an email from Salisbury University. Cole, he has asked for what we would like to do with 115 North Main Street as a building.
Smell it.
Well, yes, that would be a fabulous option.
Make him buy it.
Yeah, Salisbury. Salisbury could buy it, and they could put like a restaurant and learning station there or something. Satellite center there. So if you guys can think of anything besides selling it, obviously we would like to just sell it, but something that you would like to see go in there, please let me know so I can email Cole back. And then I have purchased on Amazon 2 water meters, like those external water meters that we talked about. For people that do like fill their pool or their koi pond. So I bought 2 of them on Amazon. I'm going to use one to test it. And then there's a lady with a pool that would like to email me again this morning. So I just bought 2 of them on Amazon. They weren't expensive. They're not fancy. But I thought if we're going to at least test it, we can test it out and see how it works. I'm not trying to cause, any extra work. But I do get that, there are certain cases where... people might do a little more if they weren't paying the sewer charge for, power washing their house or doing some stuff around their yard or putting in, some irrigation. So that's all I had.
Was that a budget item?
Was it a budget item? Yeah, hey, it was $13 on Amazon. I'm a little concerned about how well it's going to work. I'll let you know. I thought that price was too good to be true.
If we decide not to dedicate that grant money to 115. Can we return it?
I believe we can. I've actually been asking about that, precisely that, because all well and good with the grant, and it's always great when anybody in the state or federal government makes a commitment to kind of federal work. Right now, that seems to be just sort of holding up the road, because we have to put it out, we have to go through a whole contracting situation. The work has to get done, the work has to get inspected, which is all well and good, have an asset right now that you could sell tomorrow? Put a use, you know, for sale sign in the window?
No.
Well, you got something.
Yeah.
You got something. Better than nothing. It's on the tax roll and there's cash coming in.
Yeah.
But, you know, it may just be, let's make the commitment to get the grant project done, and then let's see what we've got as far as an asset to sell. If that, because I don't know, you know, I think it still needs to have an appraisal as a current appraisal, and not maybe what we did for the grant or what we picked it up on when the town got it, because that's what, I mean, look, if we got a $185,000 asset like we're carrying in our audit, then I don't know why we won't sell it tomorrow. We could use $185,000.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to make an investment of $185,000 in that building right now?
Well, we've had a couple people interested in the past.
Yeah.
One couple from New Jersey. Yeah.
I mean,
was that to buy it or to rent it?
To buy it.
You know, fix it up and then somebody sell it, but then you're still looking. I mean, the $100,000 they gave us, so we can use that to help fix it up, to get it in condition enough that somebody would consider taking it, then it gets us off our records. And my concern about turning the $100,000 back in is the next time we apply for something, they're going to be like, yeah, they don't use the money we give them, so why should we give them anything? That's my only concern about giving back $100,000.
That's a legitimate concern.
So.
Again, I wouldn't anticipate the sale of that probably in sometime a year from now, because ideally the grant project, assuming we find good bidders and contractors a lot of work and we don't have weather issues, pandemic issues, whatever, someone can get in there probably, I don't know, our engineer's gone, I would say hopefully October,
right.
Hopefully October, to be able to start. Get the project done by late winter of next year, early spring. This way we actually have something we can put on the market and have some time to market and think about, you know, what's a better investment. So I just would recommend not being too picky about who buys it or what they plan to do with it. I mean, zoning covers the length of the property use. So it's great that we have our mind in a restaurant. Well, there's another restaurant right next to it, and there's another restaurant 500 feet away from it. So, and it's nice to have Restaurant Row in town, but I just wonder if we're starting to saturate an area, and if it's a philosophical thing, whether the government should be in the business of competing with private enterprise. And
so if we have to use $100,000 to keep it as a restaurant, or at least maybe just use it to getting it up to a good building code where anybody can do whatever they wanted with it, you know, like the mold and all that kind of stuff and the structure and the floor. And I mean that's still fixing it up as a restaurant. So
correct.
It's the basic infrastructure in that building.
Right.
So.
And there's nothing to say upstairs was ever going to be, you know, the upstairs dining room of a restaurant.
All right.
It's not ADA accessible. It's got mold issues up there. They've got the bar that ties the building, handles the tension together. I mean, there's all sorts of things that. And again, upstairs is a nice space. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you've ever been up in a building, you can go up in a building with them. But it's a nice enough space. It's just, you know, it's just not ideal for a lot of uses. It might be a nice live workspace where they've got the business downstairs and the owner lives upstairs. But it's not exactly glamorous living. It'd be a good little loft apartment. Part of what the Salisbury team is doing is trying to sort out what a practical use of that building would be, tie in that building into some other roles for downtown. And I think all that's smart, because right now it's off the tax roll, it's a town liability, and we really have no. Anything to this year's budget, it's going to be less like at one-time assets, because this is going to be a year at the federal level where we're seeing one-time money come in. If we can buy capital equipment, this was my discussion with a federal official not all that long ago about the American Rescue Plan. This official was not certain about stormwater, but was certain about one of the water and sewer side. So I said, okay, so we can't clean up water quality runoff Chesapeake Bay, but we can buy 10 pickup trucks for the public utilities department, to which the water department, for which the federal official Equifax said I wouldn't rule that out. Well, I don't need 10 pickup trucks. We can pay off the one. We can pay off the one we're leasing.
Right.
And if we can do the same thing with public safety, we can pay off the police car leases.
Right.
X number of years in the future, all of which is smart one-time expenditure with federal money. But we could do the backhoe because the backhoe is going to be ballpark. Steve's gone ballpark $140,000, $150,000 investment, so it's all tricked out, ready to go. USDA, I'm sure, will be helpful with us on grants and loans, but that grant's only going to be $50,000. So that still leaves the town $90,000 short. And if we do a 6-year at 2.5%, I did the math in the report, or if Uncle Sam lets us use Uncle Sam's money for the assets of capital assets for water and sewer, well, that backhoe's not going to be tearing up sidewalks unless there's a water line associated with it. So it wouldn't go to the Public Works Department, or if it goes to the Public Works Department, it used to sort of be rented out to the Public Works Department, but it could be exactly what they needed for utility lines. You know, the stuff that they do related to, you know, water and sewer, but all that remains to be seen. If we get capital equipment, we're better off. If we don't get capital equipment, there's the deal of what we do now with the backhoe. And actually, the backhoe seems to be more in a dysfunctional situation than even the trash truck is.
That's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
It's what, 22 years old, and it gets the vibration. And if you have to do some sort of exact digging with a water line,
that's not how it's
yeah.
probably not the vehicle.
You shouldn't have vehicles who can vote
yeah.
or buy liquor.
When it's anchored down.
All right.
But that's, I mean, that's where we are with, you know, with 115. 115 to me is a cash register right from Brandon.
That's up to that. All righty. Okay, if anybody doesn't have anything else, then I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Thank you all.